There's a lot going on here. If you want to know more of some of the background details, I would encourage you to watch online Bible study from this past Wednesday as I go into more of the background of what's going on here. So we begin with Genesis 27, verses 1 to 4. After Isaac had become old and almost blind, he called in his firstborn son, Esau, who asked him, "Father, what can I do for you?" Isaac replied, "I am old and might die at any time. So take your bow and arrows, then go out in the fields and kill a wild animal. Cook some of that tasty food that I love so much and bring it to me. I want to eat it once more and give you my blessing before I die." And then we skip on to verse 15. Then Rebekah, Isaac's wife, took Esau's best clothes and put them on Jacob. She also covered the smooth part of his hands and neck with goat skins and gave him some bread and the tasty food she had cooked. Jacob went to his father and said, "Father, here I am." "Which one of my sons are you?" his father asked. Jacob replied, "I'm Esau, your firstborn, and I have done what you have told me. Please sit up and eat the meat I have brought. Then you can give me your blessing." Isaac asked, "My son, how did you find an animal so quickly?" "The Lord your God was kind to me," Jacob answered. "My son," Isaac said, "come closer where I can touch you and find out if you really are Esau." Jacob went closer. His father touched him and said, "You sound like Jacob, but your hands feel hairy like Esau's." And so Isaac blessed Jacob, thinking he was Esau. And then on to chapter 28, starting at verse 10. Jacob left the town of Beersheba and started out for Haran. At sunset, he stopped for the night and went to sleep, resting his head on a large rock. In a dream, he saw a ladder that reached from heaven, or from earth to heaven, and God's angels were going up and down on it. The Lord was standing beside the ladder and said, "I am the Lord God who was worshipped by Abraham and Isaac. I will give to you and your family the land on which you are now sleeping. Your descendants will spread over the earth in all directions and will become as numerous as the specks of dust. Your family will be a blessing to all people. Wherever you go, I will watch over you. Then later, I will bring you back to this land. I won't leave you. I will do all I have promised." Jacob woke up suddenly and thought, "The Lord is in this place, and I didn't even know it." Then Jacob became frightened and said, "This is a fearsome place. It must be the house of God and the ladder to heaven." Here ends our reading. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to describe somebody by their actions. You tell me what you think about this person. This person, when his brother was hungry and exhausted, gave food to his brother, but only after coercing him into relinquishing his inheritance as the elder brother. In other words, this person stole the inheritance of his older brother. This person, when his father was blind and suffering on his deathbed, followed through on a plan that his mom came up with to deceive his father into thinking he was the older son, not the younger. This person, in this deception, lies repeatedly to his father, even breaking the second commandment, invoking God's name in the lie, this lie to trick his father. In this deception, he disguised himself to look, feel, and smell like his older brother in order to steal his father's blessings. Later on, this person would marry two women and then marry also their concubines or their maidservants. So essentially, he had four wives. And this person had no shame as he blatantly favored one woman over the rest. And when these women gave him children, namely a lot of sons, this person also had no shame as he blatantly and openly favored one son above all the rest. I ask you, does this sound like a good man? Not really. Does this sound like a man striving after God's way, after the way of the Lord? Does this sound like a man who seeks to be holy and righteous, like the Lord his God is holy and righteous? Not really. Does this sound like a man who trusts God's word, who seeks to rely on God's promises, rely that on God as being his provider? No, it doesn't. You've probably guessed that we read about this man. This is Jacob, son of Isaac, son of Abraham. He is the child of the promise, the grandchild of the promise given to Abraham. This is a man whom God would later rename as Israel. And through this man, all the nation of Israel finds its heritage. Through this man would come the 12 tribes of Israel. Through this man would come the lineage that would lead to King David and then to Jesus himself. This is a man who should be striving after the way of God, who should seek to live a holy and righteous life as the Lord himself is holy and righteous. This is a man who should be trusting God's word, trusting that God is the one who provides, trusting that God will see to his promises. But he's not. Instead, he is a schemer. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's a betrayer. He's not a very good guy. He's a man from a dysfunctional family who will then father and behead over a greater and more dysfunctional family. He has moments of faith, but they're soiled. They're soiled by all the times he doesn't trust in God. They're soiled by the times that he trusts in himself. And he's your classic grab the bull by the horns kind of guy, but that's not what God wants in him or in us. And so in Genesis 28, we see this scene where Jacob is running away. He's running because he's afraid of his brother. He stole the inheritance, he stole the birthright right out from his brother's nose by lying to their father. And his brother Esau says, as soon as our dad dies, I'm killing you. You are going to join our father. And so Jacob, out of fear, runs. It's like he goes into exile, and he leaves it all behind. He's by himself as he's running away from his brother, running for his life. And as he runs, he finds a place to stay for the night. He lies down, uses a rock for a pillow, which can only ever lead to weird dreams, I would imagine. And he has a dream. And in his dream, he dreams of a ladder or a stairway. The Hebrew isn't exactly specific on this. But in this dream, this ladder, this stairway is a connection from earth to heaven. And on this stairwell, angels are descending and ascending and going back and forth. And in this dream, the Lord speaks to Jacob. And here, the Hebrew tells us that the Lord just doesn't hover above it all and speak. But the Lord comes down, descends, and goes right next to Jacob. The Lord comes right down to him and speaks to him. Says, I will give to you and your offspring all this land. The Lord speaks to Jacob and says, in fact, your offspring will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. And the Lord goes on, in you and your offspring, all peoples of the world will be blessed. But wait, there's more. The Lord continues, I will keep you. I will guard you. I'll be with you wherever you go. And to double down on that further, the Lord says, I will not leave you. Note, there is no condition attached to what the Lord tells Jacob. There's no, I'll do this for you if you behave, if you do this, if you seek after me. It's just promise and grace poured out on Jacob. And it makes no sense. It should make us angry, frankly. It should really irk us. It should really rankle us. It all comes up roses for a scoundrel. All comes up roses. Now, to be fair, Jacob is going to experience the consequences of his deceit, and it's going to be repaid back to him in many ways, and he's going to lead a life that's going to have a lot of suffering, but God has given him much. But we can't be too upset about it, because I think we all know there's a lot of Jacob in us. Humanity, we're a bunch of schemers, liars, deceivers, cheaters. It's part of us. It's who we are. And even if we aren't actively scheming with our mom against our father, which I hope we aren't, we do tend to lean on our own strength, our own devices to obtain what we think is owed to us. In fact, I would say everything we do proves how little we deserve God's grace, God's promise. Just like Jacob, nothing he did earned anything that God gave him. Tell me what you think you have done to earn the grace, the promise, and the blessings of God. Nothing. All our striving has ever done is really just dig a deeper hole and often create more dysfunction. Yet, God descends. We nearly sang a song that I know some of you probably wish we would have sang called We Are Climbing Jacob's Ladder. It's in our hymnal. And in the end, I just couldn't do it. Because what's the line? What's the first verse? We are climbing Jacob's ladder. That's not true. We're not. We can't. We're in too deep of a hole. You know who goes down the ladder? The angels. Jacob doesn't go up to anything. Instead, God descends to him and comes to him. You know what Luther saw in this passage? He connected Jacob's ladder to the manger, the place where heaven and earth meet, the very crib of Christ. God descends. He comes down to us. In the Gospel of John, we see this itself. Jesus says, you will see the angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Jesus descends. He comes down right to where you are, into the deepest hole you have cut out for yourself. into the wilderness of your running away, into your exile, God came down. Descends to you, comes to you in Jesus, and speaks grace, pours it out upon you, gives you the promise of forgiveness, declares that you, by faith, are an heir, that you have received an inheritance, one you can't steal, one that can only be given, one that can't be earned, one that only can be bestowed. You, by faith, are called child of God. You receive the forgiveness, and you receive the same promises that Jacob received, that the Lord will keep you, be with you wherever you go, and promises to never leave you. There's no ladder we can climb. But thanks be to God, we have a God who came down. Let us pray. Almighty, wonderful, and gracious God, we give thanks that you are a God who has descended into our deepest holes, our pits, our hells, and you have come down to us to deliver, to save, to give us grace upon grace, promise upon promise. We ask, O Lord, that you would give us faith to trust in you, trust your word, trust your promises, and to put ourselves fully into your care. We pray this in your gracious and almighty name.